You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we're relieved that Rob Gronkowski's knee is only bruised. You may notice that my voice sounds a little off this week. I'm congested. I probably should be resting right now and not even recording this podcast, but that is the way we do it here in the midside. We are committed. We don't give up, no matter what happened last night. Joining me this week via Skype, also in Southern California, Daniel T. Richards. Dan, have you recovered from last night? Because clearly I haven't.
Are you talking about the rager we went through and then where we like picked up 19 prostitutes and brought them back and gave them a champagne bubble bath?
I don't know if that would have been better or worse than what happened.
Oh, you're talking about the Patriots loss to the Broncos. I am well over that already, my friend. What? Gronkowski comes back. Edelman comes back. Fuck it. We're running the table.
I don't know if you saw the funniest piece of news though. Did you see that Chris Harper, the guy who muffed the punt, got cut?
Does not surprise me whatsoever, considering that if anyone noticed this for all of our football watching fans, after Chris Harper muffed that punt, the next punt return, Belichick literally put no one to return it. He said, it's better if we just let it fall to the ground than have someone try to catch it.
Cause it would have been on that last one.
Yes. So that's the way that Belichick rolls.
Yeah. My mother texted me that. She was like, Chris Harper was cut. And all I replied was LOL.
So yeah, we're done. I mean, not done for the season. I mean, we're done thinking about how horrible this loss was. We're moving on to Philadelphia.
Yes. And, once I got the news today, like I went to bed last night and I was like, okay, when I wake up, the first thing I'm going to do is look at my phone. I usually don't do that because I want to like some space from the internet, but you'll see why in this episode. But I looked at my phone immediately and I still saw the news that, oh, you might not be hurt that bad. And then today it broke that
it wasn't broken?
That it wasn't broken. And we were having a meeting and I left the meeting and looked it up and I came back in the meeting and I said, okay guys, I know this meeting has been going on a really long time, but everything's going to be okay. Rob Gronkowski's knee is only bruised.
And everyone That's was right, like, bitches.
We don't care.
Just like our entire audience right now.
Also joining us via Skype from the House of Mouse, Elliot Rivera. Now, Elliot, you told us pre-show that you have an announcement you want to make, and this is what I want to know. Are you coming out as straight?
Are you going back into the closet?
If I go back into the closet, it will be to renovate it to make it even more of a walk-in.
So you're not visiting Narnia?
No, not visiting Narnia. No. It's actually harder for me to say. I actually got fired from Disney.
Oh, wow.
I got fired. Yeah, it's quite a story.
So, Elliot, I have some bad news. The reason we had you on here is because of your connection for Disney, so we're going to have to let you go.
Let me go. I know, bring in William or Katrina. I know.
Does that mean also that you're not gay anymore?
I was kind of right.
No, I'm still plenty gay. I don't have my house years anymore.
Do you want to tell this story right now?
Well, kind of, if you want to hear it.
I do want to hear it. I just don't want to make you feel uncomfortable.
It was like half of your gimmick. And I was going to go to Orlando. What the fuck? Do you want to see how this affects me? Because I'm clearly the most important person here. I was going to go to Orlando in June.
Dude. I'm going to Orlando next month.
Yeah.
No worries, all right?
Didn't you think of us when you got fired?
Dudes, don't even worry about it, all right? I've still got contacts and hookups. We're going to be fine. We're going to go around the parks and have a lot of fun.
All right. That's the important part.
Can we throw eggs at the people who fired you?
No, don't do that because it was my fault. What happened was, you guys know that my job entailed being a public speaker, and I was I worked at a place called Interventions, which was at Epcot Center. And I was, one day I came in and I was feeling very ill. And when Elliot is ill, he doesn't always watch what he says. And normally I would just stay home, wait till I'm better, and then come back. But it just wasn't an option. I needed the money. I needed the overtime. So I was there. And I was on microphone loading everybody into a theater, getting ready to start my presentation. And in my sickness, apparently I got frustrated at something or someone. And I said, oh, shit, on the microphone. And everybody in the theater heard it. And, yeah, that was basically it.
They fired you for saying, oh, shit?
Yeah.
Well, hey, you shouldn't have muffed the punt, okay?
Shouldn't have what?
Yeah, I hear the Patriots need some punt returners. Are you? Just in case you're looking for a job.
Yeah.
Well, at least you didn't, like, molest a kid.
No, I didn't do that.
I mean, they couldn't, like, demote you to, like, pretzel guy or something? They just had to fire you?
No, no. It's one of those things, like, when you get hired by Disney, like, you sign your life away with all these, like, contracts and all these agreements and everything. And one of them, like, the big one is don't cuss in front of guests. That's, like, a major one. There was really, like, no chance. Like, even and the union shop steward that they sent to me when they did it, he was just looking at me like, I'm so sorry, but there's nothing I can do for you. And I, you know, I'm okay. I was okay because I did do it. I'm not going to complain about it. And I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to blame Disney for something when it was my fault. And I'm always going to be grateful to Disney for everything that they've done for me and for my family and what they've done for my city. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
So are you going to work for Universal now?
No, I'm not going to work for Universal. I'm actually getting back into working towards my real estate license, so maybe I'll have some boring real estate stories that I'll tell you guys.
Well, Elliot, you are handling this better than most people in the entire world, and I commend you on that. And I also commend the fact that you're going to take this as an opportunity to advance yourself and not to wallow in pity and drink your sorrows away. So, well done, sir. We salute you.
Thank you.
He's certainly handling it better than I handled the loss last night, so.
Puts things in perspective.
But you know who is handling things well this year? Americans are handling Black Friday expertly. Let's learn about it in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Just a fad. 'Cause kid, there's consequences to what we say and what we do. While you're dancing like an idiot, they're looking up to you.
Not only are shoppers handling Black Friday well, but some retailers are handling it in a particularly awesome fashion. Everyone's favorite party game, Cards Against Humanity, had a This Black Friday Only sale in which you Humanity, $5. Full stop. Nothing else. That's right. You could give Cards Against Humanity $5, and in return, you would have given them $5, because there was nothing for sale. And they never promised anything for sale, and they said, here, give us $5, and people did, to the tune of over $71,000. Where did Cards Against Humanity spend this money, you might ask? Pretty awesomely, Cards Against Humanity on their website said, hey, we've raised like something like $12 million for charity $4 million for charity since 2012. So this year we are literally taking this money and spending it on ourselves. And they gave a list. So for instance, John at Cards Against Humanity bought a $365 bottle of single malt whiskey, dinner for two at this expensive restaurant, and he did in fact donate a little bit to Charity Water. So what do you think of this? Brilliant? Scammy? Brilliantly scammy?
Well, I have two things to say about this. They raised $71,000 for nothing. I only raised $4,000 for my web series. What the fuck, America? What the fuck, world? What the fuck, internet? And the second thing I have to say is, it's kind of a rhetorical trick, where it's an interesting rhetorical trick, because they're making themselves seem like bigger dicks than they are, which I guess you always want to seem like a bigger dick, but they're all, they, if you look at all of the individual breakdowns, they all donated like at least $1,000 to a charity. So that must have been a rule they had. So they are actually, even though they said we're not giving to charity, each of the individual people gave to charity.
Yeah. Not the full amount, though. They still spent a considerable amount on themselves.
Yeah.
Which I applaud.
It, that's my question. Is anyone upset about this on the internet? There's got to be somebody who's mad about this.
Oh, it's the internet. We could find someone who's upset. Let's be serious here.
There are places on the internet to find upset people, but those are not places that I go very frequently.
Yeah. This is not the first time Cards Against Humanity has done this, by the way. Last year, they sold $6 boxes of shit. And when people literally opened them, they found actual shit in the boxes. And there was a little bit of outrage against that, except Cards Against Humanity said, we told you it was a box of shit. Like, up front. So, this year they decided, $6 for shit, $5 for nothing.
Well, that's because 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, they started this all by doing the holiday game, right? Where it was like the 12 holiday things, and then it took people like 6 months to figure out like the secret prize or whatever. And then they escalated it to shit. And what I have to wonder is last year when they were like, we literally sold people shit. Do you think we can sell them nothing and then use that for ourselves? This is one of those where I really think they were just trying to see if they could pull it off.
And they did, to the tune of $71,000.
I don't know. Part of me feels like they earned that money, you know?
Well, I think is earn, that seems like a loose term here, earn.
But on purpose. I'm using it loosely on purpose. It's certainly not how I would go about selling anything. And I do kind of think that maybe it was a bit on the deceitful side. But at the same time, I do kind of perversely admire their genius.
Oh, shit.
And to be fair, this is...
You missed the joke. Never mind.
Oh.
I was trolling Elliot.
We fucked up the recording. Your jokes are so poorly done that I can't tell when they're jokes or when you're just saying we fucked up the recording. So well done, sir. What was I going to say? I don't care. I like it. It's part of their brand. I think people come to expect this nonsense from Cards Against Humanity. Cards Against Humanity does enough selling of real products that this is sort of just a marketing stunt, essentially. And it's no different from the Taco Bell emojis that Justin and I spent 60 minutes yesterday playing with on Twitter.
I can't believe we spent that much time. This is how that escalated. So Taco Bell had this like emoji, what would they call it? Emoji mixer or whatever it was?
Yeah. You basically tweet the taco emoji and then any other emoji at Taco Bell and then Justin?
Well, and then they give you some weird graphic or something. So I looked at it and it like popped up in my newsfeed as like a promoted tweet. And I was like, this is stupid. And then, as I do with all stupid things on the internet, I go, how are people interacting with this? And I clicked on the tweet. I know, it doesn't make any sense, but we'll save
this
that
for... This is stupid. Let me poke it.
Yeah.
I'll poke it.
we'll save this for the... We'll get to that in the Reddit section. But, so I clicked on it, and then I was like, this is stupid because they're just all replying to one guy. But then what happened was, I became that guy because we tweeted once at him, and it sent us back like an animated GIF. So... We just started tweeting different combinations at Taco Bell to see what would happen.
And of course, you know, our twisted, demented minds, we said, all right, tweet the taco emoji and the middle finger emoji. And it showed us a taco flipping a bird, like a literal bird, like flipping it over. And then I said, all right, tweet the taco emoji and then the Muslim one, the one that's Muhammad's grave. Tweet that emoji, which exists, by the way, anyone who's doubting me. And it showed a little taco in heaven, like it was like a mystical god taco. So that was a little bit offensive, but.
By the way, tweeting a taco, a picture, an emoji of a taco, and a dick picture doesn't get you anything.
Yeah. Not the kind of taco you're going for anyway. So the people who gave.
That's what I was setting up.
Yeah. Gross. So the people who gave all that money to. Cards Against Humanity were just a fraction of the more than 103 million shoppers who made purchases online on Black Friday. In fact, Ad Age reports that for the first time, more people shopped online on Black Friday than actually shopped in the stores. So 103 million online versus 102 million who ventured into traditional stores. Quote, the shift online has been a mixed blessing for the retail industry. While it's given companies one way to reach customers, a slowdown in mall traffic has hurt results at department stores and apparel chains. Oh, no. Many retailers have struggled to match the online dexterity of Amazon. Neiman Marcus Group, for instance, suffered web outages on Friday and Saturday, leaving customers really fucking frustrated.
Is this a surprise?
Did any of you?
I mean, I don't find this surprising.
I don't think it's surprising as much as it is just a snapshot of where we're going. It's not so, like I knew it was going to happen eventually. I didn't, if you had said 2015, I'm not sure I would have said that would be, I would think it would be too soon. But did any of you do shopping on Friday online?
I did it on Thursday online, Thursday night when I got home. GameStop ran a sale on PS4s and Xbox Ones online the day before they were doing it in the store. So why would I go and wait in line in the store and put up with stupid people when I can just buy it online and have it shipped to me and I get it a week later?
You made some poor internet sap work on Thanksgiving. How dare you, you evil capitalist.
It's not automated. I thought it was automated.
Shh. Computers have dreams too.
Look, all this move, what they've done, what these retailers have done, is they've just opened up, they've reopened up Black Friday to white people. And what I mean by that is, at a certain point, white people decided we're not going to go to stores anymore because we don't want to wait in line with everyone else.
So is that with Black Friday? I didn't know there was that connection.
Well, no, it's mainly Indians, dot not feather, for at least in my experience, and probably a lot of Asians out here in California. But
it's Hispanics down here in Florida, man.
Right.
Did you see that YouTube?
I'm serious. Look, I'm being tongue-in-cheek by saying all white people, but who is it? Is it majority white people on Black Friday?
I haven't been out since grad school, so I have no idea.
But that proves my point, because you're half white. The half white of you is like, I am not going outside during this. This is insane. So they were like, how do we get the white people to buy things? And they say, the white people. How do we get them to buy things on Black Friday? And they say, well, they like Cyber Monday, so why don't we just put the same deals for Black Friday on the internet on Thursday, and they'll buy it because they're too busy pretending they have families they don't hate.
Whereas you're saying all the minority groups actually literally don't have families that they all hate?
No, they just are, they've accepted the fact that they all hate each other and they go wait in line in the cold instead.
Is that way they could take it out on the other people in line, is that what you're saying?
Or no, you're too cold to fight. Which, trust me, someone who grew up in the Northeast, you know why a lot of Northeastern families stay together? That's why my family never imploded when I was growing up. Because we were too cold in the winter. We were like, we're really angry, but I'm just going to go in bed and get under the covers because I don't want to freeze to death.
Because my family can't afford indoor heating. Do any of you have crazy Black Friday stories from your life? Have you ever done that whole go out thing?
I worked on Black Friday once at Best Buy, and they were like, your job is to stand in this aisle. I was like, that's it? They were like, yes, this one aisle. All night. So I stood in one aisle for 8 hours. And I was like, this is bizarre.
But I mean, did you see any minorities punch each other over a toaster?
No, because I actually had the afternoon shift, so I missed all the punching. Because they were like, we probably don't want to have Justin here when shit's crazy because he might be unpredictable.
He started a mosh pit.
No, but honestly,
so I only did the...
Didn't it seem like there are fewer videos... You know what I mean? Like people, there are always those videos the day after of all the fights and everything, but it just didn't seem like there were that many this year.
Yeah, I didn't see as many. I've only done the Black Friday thing once in my entire life, shopping wise. And that was in grad school. And this will tell you how long ago that was. I went to a Circuit City and bought DVDs of South Park. That's right. Because they had each season for like, I think $15 a season. And that was a killer deal at the time. So I waited in line starting at 4 a.m. until the doors opened at 6 a.m, walked over, got the DVDs, and then had a minor kerfuffle with someone over a, GPS system. That's right. A GPS system separate from a phone. Because it was the last one on the shelf and we both sort of saw it at the same time, but I got it. And he said he saw it first. So it was right, Liz. Ironically, or maybe not ironically, Justin, this was an Indian man.
Point proven. That anecdotal evidence proves my racism.
And then I left. But other than that, we used to go out on Black Friday in the afternoon just to laugh at people in Chicago.
But by the way, does that work with women? I saw her first.
Therefore mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
When she tries to leave the bar with a guy, just get in the doorway and say, hey dude, I saw her first.
Only if you are taking the paleo man thing to an extreme that's not healthy. Speaking of Chicago, I did speak of Chicago, right? I said Chicago like 10 seconds ago.
Well, you said black a lot, so that's Chicago. Well, because we're going to talk about
University of Chicago. Yes. All right, racist guy. Turn it down there. Get out of the cold
where
medicine.
Is the number one place where there's black-on-black crime in America? Isn't it Chicago?
Spike Lee has made a movie called Chi-Raq.
Yeah, so that's not racist on my part.
Uh-huh, lies. University of Chicago closed its campus after an online threat of violence. I think this was today, right? University of Chicago canceled all classes and its activities at Hyde Park after being warned by FBI of an online threat of gun violence. Quote, based on the FBI's assessment of this threat and recent tragic events at other campuses across the country, we've decided in consultation with federal and local law enforcement officials to exercise caution by canceling all classes. And there's an update to this story that Justin handed along here that I am literally just now reading.
Yeah, I've been getting updates from this story all day because Katrina actually went to the University of Chicago.
Oh. Well, go whatever your mascot is. It turns out that the gun violence was, and there's been an arrest now, by the way. The guy who was going to perpetuate the violence was upset about the shooting of Laquan McDonald, a black male killed by police, I believe. And he actually threatened to kill 16 white male students or staff at the University of Chicago in retaliation for said shooting. Quote, this is my only warning. At 10 a.m. Monday morning, I'm going to campus quad of the University of Chicago. I will be armed with an M4 carbine and two Desert Eagles, all fully loaded. I will execute approximately 16 white males, which is the same number of times McDonald was killed. I think he means shot.
No, he means killed.
He was killed.
That's a lot of resuscitation.
Like Jason Voorhees just lives and dies, lives and dies.
That cop really had a vendetta against McDonald. Every time
Apparently.
He was resuscitated, he just shot him again. And he was like, I'm sorry, I thought he was a zombie.
But well, I don't, what
I'm
is
sure
he...
that's not, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just like, what was this guy wanting? The cop that shot him is already being tried, is arrested and being tried for murder. I mean, what more does he want? Why would he want other people to suffer when the cop is actually going to get justice?
Well, he doesn't want justice, he wants dead white people.
Imagine selling, huh?
Well, that's what he says at the end of his post, which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, his post was made on World Star Hip Hop, which gives him an extra level of comedy here. Not that this is that funny, but World Star Hip Hop is just a very stereotypically black site where it's sort of like they post memes and videos and stuff.
They have killer sales.
Better than it says, yo, download my new track.
But at the end of his post, he says, I hope you'll join me in killing the white devils or something like that.
Now listen to this beat I just created.
What about beats?
Oh my god, the level of racism is hysterical.
The other thing that's ridiculous about this story is he didn't even go to the University of Chicago. He went to the University of Illinois at Chicago, which is a different school than the University of Chicago. So was he just trying to go to a stereotypically white school? Like somehow the University of Chicago is stereotypically white? Is it stereotypically white?
I thought it was stereotypically Jewy.
Well, Jews are white.
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm
not saying that Jews are technically white. I'm saying to any person who just looks at skin color, Jews are white.
What? Who would look at just skin color and decide anything?
I don't know. Somebody who says I'm going to shoot 16 white people. And by the way, there was another ridiculous thing Katrina pointed out about this story. So besides the point that I made about he doesn't even go to the same school, so why is he shooting people at that school? She said that the police officers who would respond to this aren't even Chicago police, because Chicago police is so inept that it would, that, apparently the University of Chicago has really beefed up their own police force. So he's not even getting back at the police force that killed McDonald.
This guy did not do his research. Apparently, the University of Illinois Chicago is not a good school. Just saying. Up your game there, U of I C.
Yes, and while we're on the, did you see how I yes ended there? And while we're on
very good.
The topic of race.
Not only that, but also.
Katrina also said that there's a lot of crime against white people and violence against white people in Chicago, but you can't see that. You can't say that. And you can't see that because of stories such as this.
Right.
Chicago, Chicago, that racist town.
And by the way, to make an argument by association, which actually probably isn't a good argument at all, but I'm just going to make it because I know the Republicans and conservatives would make it. Obama comes from Chicago.
He comes from Kenya, sir. How dare you?
Just I blew my fucking mind.
Like I read on Breitbart, I speak the truth.
All I know is I just didn't say anything illegitimate there, and I probably just pissed a lot of people off, and they think I'm ignorant now.
You just blew my mind like this guy wanted to.
It's just, this whole thing is just ridiculous. I mean, not only are white people being attacked so much, men are being attacked, and we're not even allowed to talk about that. It's not just white people in general. White men are under attack, too. And they just, I mean, that doesn't get reported in the media at all.
Yeah, and of course there's the whole element that we haven't even talked about here, that this was an online threat, too.
Yeah.
And then they didn't find any guns in his house. Or apartment, or whatever.
Also, if you're going to do this, why do you post an online threat? Why not just do it? I mean, I'm not encouraging, I'm just saying. Like, if he was actually serious. I think this is someone crying out for help.
Yes.
Honestly. Like most mentally ill shooters are, so.
And like all the people. What?
I called Daniel a bleeding heart pussy.
That's the first time I've ever been accused of a bleeding heart anything in my life.
Or having a pussy.
Or having a pussy.
I hope.
Nah, people have said that to me before, but go ahead.
You know who else is crying out for hope? The people we're going to be discussing with. The people we're going to be discussing in The Hopeful Romantic with JML. All right, audience, if you haven't figured out that I'm also lightheaded at this point, then you haven't been paying attention, which is exactly the perfect state of mind to be in when reviewing The Walking Dead mid-season finale. And this is what I have to say. Yeah, that was more interesting than the episode. If they didn't have the big villain of Negan coming up, I would not be continuing to watch this show. If Jeffrey Dean Morgan wasn't going to be added to the show as Negan, I wouldn't be continuing to watch this show. The number one thing that I've had a problem with since Gimple joined the show as showrunner is pacing. He has the same trick over and over again where he separates people, and then he does episodes about what's going on with those individual people. So the first 8 episodes of this season, before the mid-season finale, so the 8th episode was the mid-season finale, have all been taking place in one day. That is how slow the plot has moved. So the major plot point is a zombie horde comes in to the Alexandria safe zone. But it took them 8 episodes to get there because they had a flashback, they had people in other places, and then finally, at the end, they cover themselves in guts and start going through the horde, and the episode ends. That's
it. So the horde got there, but there was no even real confrontation?
No, so the horde gets there, and they all go hide in the buildings, in the houses. But then Carl, because he's a teenager, argues with another teenager, where he said, he did, it was the best line of the episode, though, and he was like, you're gonna have to accept the fact that your dad was an asshole. which was a pretty good line. But because they fight, the zombies break into the house. And because the zombies break into the house, and everybody else is hiding in houses too, they have to cover themselves in zombie guts in order to get through the zombies, because the zombies can't smell them when they're covered in zombie guts. But as they're going through, the 8-year-old kid is like, "Mom, Mom," and then it cuts, because you're like, oh no, he's saying mom, so the zombies are going to go after him. That's it.
I am so fucking glad I stopped watching this show.
Yeah, honestly, the only reason to continue watching is because of Negan. Although I will say, they offer these glimmers of hope, where it's like sort of romanticism. So the town leader did die, and she was talking to Michonne, and she was saying, you have to figure out what you want. To continue this place, you have to figure out what you want. It was basically saying, why are you surviving? What's the point of surviving? And I was like, wow, it only took them 5.5 seasons to get there. And they'll probably never bring it up again. But at least they name-checked it.
So do they plan to do next season real-time? Like 42 minutes in the life of, and then 42 minutes in the life of, and then 42 minutes in the life of?
I mean, you say that, but the show would actually dramatically improve if they brought Jack Bauer in. So...
I would take it. Then I would start watching. Yeah, 24 I mean, crossover?
Right, they already did 24 Die Another Day to, you know, talk about the British version of it, the James Bond version of 24. That's what they were doing. So they should do the Walking Dead version of 24.
There we go.
All right.
So like, what was the 24... What was the zombie movie with the numbers in the name?
Oh, 28 Days Later, so just call it 24 Days Later.
Yeah.
There you go.
So is that Glenn Beck dead officially or no?
No. That was either brilliant or stupid. I can't decide yet. So when Negan shows up, spoiler alert for the comics.
There's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant.
Turn off if you don't want spoilers for the comics. Turn it off. In the comics, when Negan shows up, he brutally kills Glenn with a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. And if Negan's going to show up in the season finale, of course, he could be doing that. So possibly to make people safe, they teased his death. I mean, it seemed like he was dead and then he wasn't. Because then when it comes to the end, people will go, oh, well, it's not going to be him who dies. So it could be a double fake out, but it could also be a triple fake out because they, you know, were thinking, oh, well, they're not going to kill Glenn now because it's obvious they're going to kill Glenn. So then they kill somebody else. So they're just fucking with the audience at this point, because I think the only real reason to watch this is to see the adaptation and how they do that.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's just living off the fumes of the comic at this point. And speaking of living off the fumes of something else that happened, recently, I don't know if you guys noticed, there's been a Kickstarter going on to bring back Mystery Science Theater 3000. And they've announced a couple special guests. Felicia Day is going to be on it, apparently. And now today they announced Patton Oswalt is going to be on this.
I love Patton Oswalt. So I'm kind of excited to see it. That was part of my childhood, man. I used to see it with my dad because it used to be on Saturday nights on the Sci-Fi Channel. Actually, I remember when it was on Comedy Central before they put it on Sci-Fi. Back when it was still Sci-Fi, not S-Y-F-Y. But, and that was just a part of growing up, you know, I would sit with my dad and we'd just laugh at these old movies. I remember, you know, when it was Joel, then when it became Mike. I mean, so I don't know. I'm on the one hand, I'm kind of like, you know, let's just let it kind of die. Let it stay in that era of the 90s, you know, where it was really great. But on the other hand, I'm kind of like, there's so many awful movies that have come out in the last few decades that never got riffed on in that way. And I kind of want to see them taken on. Like, I would love to see them, take on, like, that Exodus Gods and Kings movie or that Noah film that was all... I mean, I would love to see them take on something like that.
Or The Happening.
The Happening, yes.
Hey. No, it's okay. It's an awful movie.
I'd fucking pay money to see them riff on The Happening. But, oh my god, nothing's happening!
But that's my question for you guys. I would love to see, I agree, I would love to see somebody riff on these movies. But maybe I've just never understood Mystery Science Theater 3000, because I always felt like it was funnier in concept than execution. I found myself watching it, and I started riffing on the show itself.
Yeah, so I do agree with you to the extent that I don't think I ever found the show as funny as people thought it was. But if there was nothing else on, I'd certainly watch it. It was amusing. It was solid.
But in today's day and age, it was a good C+. There's always something else on in today's day and age. We don't have that problem anymore.
But even still.
But these are,
Yeah, but they're still successful. Even with, I mean, the three guys are doing riff tracks now, and they've made a lot of money, and they have a cult following. They're doing really well with that. So there is a, and that's without them sitting on the bottom of the screen with the two robots, you know, riffing on the movie on screen. It's just downloadable commentaries. So there is, I think, a market for something like this, and I think people would be very interested to see it on screen once again. And I don't think it was ever something to be taken that seriously. So if you were riffing on the show itself, they probably were okay with that.
So maybe the fact that this funny show isn't funny was okay to them?
Well, I mean, like the idea that the robots, obviously one of them, the, you know, Tom Servo is a gumball machine with like beaks, with a beak on it. And I mean, I think that they kind of knew that it was silly as well. I don't think that they were expecting to be taken that seriously.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that will be amusing about this, and this is coming from the guy who really likes to retire things that have been done, but I don't think this has been done in a modern context, which is what I'm excited about.
Yeah, it needed Felicia Day is what it needed.
Who doesn't?
As a villain, she's the villain too. I don't think she's a hero. Like,
Wait. How is there a villain in this concept?
In the later years of Mystery Science 3000, there was the main villain, instead of the evil scientist that was there in the years prior, it was a woman. I cannot for the life of me remember her name. She was actually very funny, but she was, this evil kind of mad scientist kind of, I don't even know how to describe her.
What made her evil? How was she the villain? Did she defend the shows that they were making fun of?
No, she was a villain because she wanted to keep them imprisoned up there. And she wanted to expand her reach to the universe. She wanted to rule the universe. And so the films were basically her way of testing that. It was similar to the scientists preceding her. So I guess.
Power Rangers? The Power Rangers were making fun of movies? And she was what? Rita Repulsa? Is that what's going on?
I guess you could say that, yeah. But without the dubbing.
I prefer Lord Zedd.
Yeah, why does there need to... I like Ivan Ooze because I'm a hipster, but...
I love Ivan Ooze.
But why does there need to be an overarching narrative to a show making fun of movies?
It was like a nominal plot device. Like, I don't know. I don't think it was necessary, but... I don't know. Aren't you the number one advocate for everything should have a story?
No. I mean, I think things with stories are better, but I wouldn't say like Colbert, his late night show needs a story. Like every day it's like, look at as Colbert tries to escape death. Look at as Colbert tries to stay relevant. Like.
Sounds much more compelling, actually. I'm all in favor of Colbert. They're trying to escape death every show. As long as it was a reality show.
That's a different show.
Maybe Trevor Noah needs a storyline in his show because it's just awful.
Yeah, he should try to play a comedian.
Yeah, but if we're talking about things that are unnecessary, besides the Angry Birds teaser trailer for their movie that I don't know if you guys saw on Facebook today.
No, nobody saw it.
Well, it's like these little cute birds singing some song, and then the angry red bird comes in with his big bushy eyebrows, and I'm like, you're just a ripoff of anger, shows up and gets mad at them. But anyway, unnecessary things. George Lucas. I don't know, did you guys see this article about him defending Greedo shooting first?
I'd heard about this, and then I decided that George Lucas was irrelevant and put it out of my mind.
I'm sorry, but he is. I remember that. I mean, I watched that movie as a kid so many times. Han freaking shot first, and just accept it. I don't know what Lucas has against that, Han Solo's proactivity in that scene, but it happened. He just needs to accept it.
Well, his argument is that if Solo shot first, it would make him a murderer.
Greedo is going to kill him. He was being proactive. It's so stupid.
This if someone is pointing a gun at your head. Yeah, if someone is pointing a gun at your head and you shoot them first, you are not a murderer. You are acting in self-defense. And the fact that George Lucas can't get this through his thick skull is good enough reason for him never to touch the Star Wars franchise ever again.
It's just stupid. I mean, this anti-gun, anti-self-defense craze that is just, you know, that these Hollywood liberal idiots have, are going through, it's just ridiculous, it's dangerous, and people are going to die because of it. And I'm not being hyperbolic here.
Well, the other thing he did say in this article is, you know, Daniel, you said he should give up on Star Wars. In the article, he said he gave up on the internet in the year 2000. He hasn't even used email since the year 2000.
Well, Jesus. The Phantom Menace was 1998, 1999, so yeah, I'm not
surprised. Didn't want to read the Reddit reviews of Phantom Menace.
Is this only possible for him because he's a billionaire? Would a normal person be able to not use the internet for 15 years?
Normal person. You mean a healthy person?
Yes, I mean a normal, a person who's not a billionaire and who is psychologically healthy.
I get what you're saying. It would be very difficult. You'd have to have a very particular kind of lifestyle. So, Justin knows this, but I've been out without my phone for 36 hours. I just got a new phone today because it died. And
yeah, by the way, when we were watching the game yesterday, his fiance was texting me.
Yeah.
Because that's how she got in communication with him, which made it awkward with the responses.
No, that's just how we roll. So I didn't think I was that attached to my phone, and I still don't think I am that attached per se, but the number of things that are routed through my phone, like for instance, if you turn on fucking two-step verification to get into your email or whatever, and you can't log in on another thing because you have to have a text message code, you're basically fucked. I was completely locked out of my email, Airbnb, my contacts, Facebook, et cetera, because I didn't have my phone. And that made life very hard. Couldn't call a fucking Uber today. That was ridiculous. I was like, oh, I'll just Uber back. Shit. No phone.
Right.
I don't think a normal
person
could go without using the internet at all unless they were a billionaire.
Right. Because it used to be back in the day that you had to log on to the internet. Nobody logs on to the internet anymore. We're just always on the internet.
Yeah.
I think George Lucas is lying. I'm going to call him a liar right here, right now. I've been going with the internet since the year 2000. You are full of shit. Of course you have. Everybody has. Everybody uses the internet. He is a liar. I will call him on that right now.
So what are you saying? I'm a liar for saying I've never drank? Everybody drinks.
No, I believe
you. No, that's not even the same. But George Lucas has looked at so much Jar Jar Binks porn.
I mean, the internet is an amazing thing. It has a lot of problems. Obviously, there are bad people on it. But there's a lot of greatness about it, too. What it has done for this world is an amazing thing. To think that a person to think that you're better than everybody else because I'm not on the internet. I gave up in the internet in 2000. Like, you're a douchebag. You're a douchebag and a liar.
So he's applying the television argument to internet? Oh, we don't own a television.
Yeah, like, and remember in the 90s, that was the thing. We don't own a TV. I remember Sheryl Crow talking about, I threw my TV out for a whole year. And that was the hippie thing to do. So I guess his version is, we don't have internet. I'm disconnected. I'm unplugged, blah, blah, blah. And screw you. You know?
Well, then this is my question, because we're logged in all the time and you think he's a liar. Do you think it's possible he's used the internet without realizing it?
I think it's both with realizing and without realizing it. I seriously believe he is lying. I think that if he has email, he's using the internet.
He said he doesn't use email.
Does he do online banking? Does he ever, use Skype or like, there are so many things that revolve around the internet that don't have to be like in a browser looking at the internet.
If he has a security system. for example, that's using the internet too.
Right, that's what I mean. So what if he has an iPhone and he doesn't use Wi-Fi, but he has apps?
If he has LTE, yeah. You're still using the internet. That
fucking Angry Birds uses Game Center.
Yeah, Angry Birds Star Wars. Do you think he played Angry Birds Star Wars?
he at least cashed the check for it. Absolutely.
So he used the internet when he cashed the check?
What a douche.
I'm telling you, he's a douchebag. He is lying.
Thank you for coming up with the concept of Star Wars. Now leave it alone.
Yeah, you racist
fuck. Go away.
Me's a Jar Jar Binks. Me's a black guy.
Gungans are so racist. They are the racist thing ever.
Yeah.
But Elliot's right. The internet is amazing. And one of the amazing things on it is Reddit. So let's go to our last segment. It's time for Reddit on Reddit. Sony stupid, Xbox lame, PC gaming all the way. EA blows, Steam rocks, God rest for my firewall. These things are all on Reddit. Mostly pics of felines, comma, boring felines. These things are all on Reddit. No, we didn't host it, but we will with post it. Still lightheaded. Let's just do this.
Thank you for the update.
Yeah, I just thought I'd do that. Oh, shit.
Oh, I hate you so bad.
Elliot's not reacting at all. It's not fun.
No, it's like fire.
first Reddit. This is a serious Reddit. How did the internet ruin your life?
It made me read that George Lucas article. Oh, I'm sorry. It's serious. I don't have any way in which it ruined my life. Certainly when I was younger, I played quite a bit of online gaming, including like Diablo 2, and spent a lot of time on that when I probably should have been, I don't know, reading or some shit. But, the only thing I can think of in which it's made my life bizarre and a little bit uncomfortable is I have phantom phone notification syndrome. I don't know if anyone's experienced this, but like, even 2 days when I was without my phone, I would reach up or reach down and touch my pants pocket because I thought my phone was ringing or vibrating.
Yeah, I've had that too.
And it's all the fucking time where I'm like, oh, just got a text. Couldn't have gotten a text because my fucking phone is broken. So that's annoying. And I'm not sure that's ever going to go away, but it hasn't ruined my life, but
ruined.
Anyway. Nor has it ruined anything. Justin, are you hitting that cough syrup a little hard?
No cough syrup.
Because right, that's not straight edge.
Mm-hmm. No, medicine is straight edge. It's fine. I don't know if it actually is, but I break straight edge for medicine. But I definitely have phantom phone notification syndrome all the time. Or I have the problem where I look at my phone just for the sake of looking at it, even though there's probably not likely that I got a notification. But this is the number one thing that, you know, Facebook figured out, you know, Twitter does it and everyone does it now. Like, the notifications make me feel some feeling of, I don't even know how to say it, like newness.
Alive inside?
Yeah, it's like, ooh, I'm excited. There's a notification. That means there's something new. And the notification is just like, how to survive the zombie apocalypse has 5 new views. And I'm like, you got me all excited. And now that's what it is.
That's sort of like the app that cried notification right there.
Right.
Fuck you, Facebook.
So yeah, I definitely have that, and I definitely have like this weird excitement about notifications. But as far as ruining my life, the amount of negativity that I've let into my life due to the internet. Because when I was young, my dad was like, in middle school, he was like, hey, look at this AOL Star Trek club. Look at all these normal people who talk about Star Trek here and not in their everyday life. And so I was like, that's normal. And I did that for a long time. And I think that's part of the reason why I interact so much on this stuff. Think of how fucked up that is to tell your kid. Hide this thing about yourself that's completely normal. It's not like I was gay. It's not like there was like something fucked up about me. He was like, stop talking about Star Trek to us. We don't care.
Because if you were gay, he'd be shoving you in that closet.
Where you would be decorated.
I had to come out of the AOL as a Star Trek fan. I had to sign off as a Star Trek fan.
Yes. Sorry. I think we all heard you. Star Trek porn. We got it. Mm-hmm. Elliot?
The internet has not ruined. I don't think it has ruined my life at all. I think it's made it great. I met the two of you through the internet to the extent that we've actually met. I mean.
Well, we're not going to meet anymore because I can't get into Disney World.
You're going to get into Disney. Relax, for goodness sake. Stop being so gay. No, but I discovered Ayn Rand through the internet. You know what I mean? I discovered a lot of Zack Snyder's works through internet, actually. You know, just exploring Netflix and iTunes, you know, whatever. Well, Netflix not so much because they never have Zack Snyder films on there. But a lot of the stuff that I've come into that have really moved me and inspired me over the last, I'd say maybe 10 years of my life has come from the internet. I think it's because I've been able to meet people and to read things that I probably would never have read before. I mean, just to give you some context, you know, and when I was in high school, you know, in graduate class of 2003, after 9/11, the country went on this like weird tilt to the right, you know, to the conservative Republican feel. And I was just coming into my own as a political person. And the only people that were really popular on the right were like Sean Hannity and Coulter. And they're still very popular today, but there is such a huge array of diversity. I hate that word, but there's diversity of people within the political sphere because of the bloggers and because of reporters that are on the ground that are using Twitter to live tweet. When there was that shooting outside of Planned Parenthood in Colorado, there were people that I follow on Twitter who were on the ground live tweeting the different things that they were watching, and they were getting to talk to the police officers and tweeting what the officers were saying. It was really, really cool. And the world has changed because of it. So I'm actually, I challenge this question. I repudiate this question.
So porn then?
Yeah, and porn too. God, you can't forget porn.
Mm-hmm. All right, next Reddit. You meet a beautiful girl in the elevator, and Elliot, for your sake, we can say beautiful guy, because we're inclusive on this podcast. You meet a beautiful girl slash guy in the elevator and have 20 seconds to make your move. What will you say? Actually, you know what? I was going to make fun of this question, but now I feel like a series of shorts where you have different people responding in 20 seconds and you have a counter at the bottom would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Being the guy who has a fiance, I would say, I'm on the fifth floor. Could you press the fifth floor button? Also, I have a fiance.
Say, the fact that you're interacting at all requires, do you interact with all women that way? You always end every statement with, also, I have a fiance.
Yeah, I have this look on my face, like, just in case you were considering, you know, fucking me, I have a fiance. So,
no-go
there, ladies.
That's how you stay out of trouble, man.
In the hypothetical that you did not have a fiance.
Closed for business.
In parallel universe. What would you say? Earth 2, Daniel.
I would say, hi. My name is Daniel. Would you care to join me for a drink at the place that must be attached to this thing with an elevator? Pure boning from that point on. Mm-hmm. I never had pickup lines. I didn't do this sort of contextual look at me being witty sort of banter. It was always just strike up any conversation and then be really direct. Like, would you like to go on a date with me? And I even did this on the metro sometimes when I was doing the 30-day rejection challenge, where if I just found someone attractive, I would talk to them, and within like a minute, I would say, would you like to join me on a date sometime, maybe for a drink? Because that's about all the time I wanted to put in with a stranger who I knew nothing else about.
Yeah, it's true. Even 20 seconds seems too long.
You're going to wildly disappoint some women.
Well, it's true. 20 seconds, most elevators, especially in newer buildings, they move really fast. Like, you don't even have 20 seconds anymore.
Mm-hmm. She better, you know, do her business fast.
Pop that thing.
Elliot, do you pick up guys in elevators?
I'm always intimidated. I have to, because for me, I mean, just because a guy is attractive, but I also have to filter if they're straight, if they're gay. If I come on too strong, then I might get my teeth knocked out, and probably rightfully so, if I come on to somebody who's straight. Because no matter how, like, comfortable a straight guy is with gay people, everybody has a barrier. Everybody has a line. So if I try to, if I come on too strong, then, you know, it might be a bad situation. And even if the other person is gay as well, that doesn't necessarily mean... So for me, I don't really have any lines. I don't tend to really pick people up like that. I guess that, well, I can't say anymore that I work at Disney and I can get you in for free. That's not gonna fly anymore. But I don't know. I have to really think about that. I have no idea. I don't pick people up really. So that's a good question.
Did you used to say to guys, you ever been on the Dumbo ride?
Yeah.
He's got like really big trunks.
Something like that.
I can spin your teacup.
Drinking around the world.
It's gotta be a better euphemism. Gotta be.
I can space your mountain. Oh wait.
Well, you Jackie.
I can matter your horn.
That's not bad.
Horrible. Give me credit for that. Fucking sucks. Much like Elliot in Elevator. Yeah!
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
Okay.
In reality, I would say nothing. But in my head, I would be like, going down. No, honestly, usually I'm the guy in the front of the elevator who's like, what floor? What floor? A funny elevator story. I can't remember where I was the other day, but no, it must have been the garden walk, because that's the main place I use the elevator every day, is by the gym. So I get in the elevator, and this Hispanic couple gets in the elevator, and the guy says in Spanish, what floor to press? And he said in Spanish, he's like, can you press floor 3 or whatever in Spanish? And I did it without even thinking, and then I must have turned around and looked at him, because he was like, thank you. And it took me aback, because I was like, why did he say it in Spanish and then thanked me in English? He, without looking, he must have assumed I was Hispanic?
You did. We're growing a little stubble. So.
I don't know.
It
was weird. All right, but I wouldn't say anything. That's my biggest problem. The more beautiful a girl is, the less I think of to say.
You don't tell her you want to take this relationship to a whole new level?
See, that's not bad. I'm gonna do that now though. Next time I'm in an elevator with a cute girl, I'm gonna say, do you wanna take this relationship to a new level? Or to another level?
No, seriously, which floor? Yeah.
Are you gonna make your ringtone Making Love in an Elevator by Aerosmith?
No, that's taking it too far, but I wonder how a girl would react to that line. Alright.
Probably terribly. Not gonna lie to you.
Nah. Yeah, it depends on the girl.
You gotta come down to Florida, to the south, and you'll get
she'll
it.
Say, yes, let's, as she's rummaging through her purse and then maces you.
No, it depends on how you deliver it, and it depends on if she's attracted to you or not. I really believe you can get away with saying stupid things if the girl is already attracted to you. If she's predisposed to like you, she'll take it as a quirk.
A quirk. Not a quirk, though.
No, she won't take it as an annoying Ferengi bar owner. All right.
No.
Last Reddit.
I can toy your story. Oh, wait. Okay, go ahead.
I can fever your pitch.
Mm-hmm. Let me Peter your pan.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to little your mermaid.
Uh-huh. I can show you a whole new world all night long.
See, but a whole new world's already about sex. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But doing your thing, I'm going to beauty your beast. It actually isn't that bad. That's pretty good.
I'm going to rub your lamp.
Yeah. You're taking the easy ones now. Come on. Alright, can we do the last Reddit so this cat will shut up?
Okay.
What comedian do you find not funny at all? Which, by the way, I find the
Justin
word funny written.
Lesneski.
I didn't even get to say anything about the grammar of this question. Come on.
Yep. Had my answer spring-loaded.
I'm not a comedian.
We know.
Oh, cruel. So cruel.
Alright, what's your grammar point?
It should be, what comedian do you not find funny at all? That makes more sense.
I've never been a big fan of Bill Maher. Is he a comedian? I feel like he's a comedian.
Kinda.
Yeah. Other than that, I kind of like a lot of comedians. I like, I mean, some, I like more of their jokes than others. Like I even like Chris Rock a lot of the time, and I like Lisa Lampanelli, and Patton Oswalt's okay. I don't really have a good answer for this. Rosie O'Donnell, she's terrible. Donald Trump
Elliot's
told us
answer.
So.
Elliot's is the best. He told me pre-show, but.
Alright, we're saving it then.
I'm just gonna throw a couple people into the ring here first. Louis C.K., I don't find funny at all. Mark Maron, I find more annoying than funny.
Maron's a good one.
I just don't find the, I can't think of the word, but the really, you know, neurotic is the word I'm looking for. I don't find the neurotic self-hatred funny. I find it grating.
Yeah, fair enough.
Ready for mine?
Let's hear Elliot's phenomenal answer.
Amy freaking Schumer.
Oh.
I'm going to be controversial. She's only famous because she's fat. They wanted to make a fat woman famous and funny. This is the whole kick right now. Melissa McCarthy, Rebel Wilson, Amy Schumer. I'm over it. It's not attractive. It's
the difference is that Melissa McCarthy is actually funny. She makes me laugh.
When?
But, I mean, like, these other ones, I don't get it at all. You know, and Amy Schumer, I'm sorry, like, this whole thing, she has a new photo by Annie Leibovitz, you know, where she's naked in high heels, holding, like, a cup of coffee. It is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And everybody's trumpeting it like the greatest thing ever. She's so brave. She's so stunning. She's so gorgeous. And I'm like, you see her chichos, you know, the Spanish term for like the little jelly rolls on her stomach. It's not. And I'm as gay as gay can be. But if you try to pass off John Goodman as a sexy man, I'm going to call you out on it. You know what I mean? And the fact that they're acting like, well, if you're a straight guy and you don't find Amy Schumer attractive in this picture, then you know, then you're a misogynist, you're sexist. Like, no, she's just not sexy. And she's really not that funny to me. I'm sorry, there's something about the slobby girl kind of thing, you know, the girl who doesn't have her life together, but how charming and how quirky she is, and she always manages to get, I never found that endearing. I've never found it likable. I just cannot stand her. And the fact that she keeps getting thrown in my face, it just pisses me off even more.
Well, I mean...
That's probably the objectively best answer, by the way.
Yes, that's why I said, well, you know, he told me it's the best answer. But this is the question I have to ask based on what you said. Isn't there playing up a bit of a gimmick here? If you are, you know, that successful as a comedian and an actress, like you're writing your own movie... Do you really not have your life together? So when you keep playing the part of not having your life together, isn't that what you're doing at that point?
Yeah, it's hypocritical, really, in a way. That's even going back to, like, Sex and the City. I mean, one of the things that, you know, because, like, every gay man, I watched every episode of every season of Sex and the City. And the thing that always drove me nuts about that show is the guys were just fawning over Sarah Jessica Parker's character, Carrie Bradshaw, a girl who, I mean, who's just a mess. She doesn't have her life together. She writes for this newspaper as an advice columnist, but she gets paid well, apparently, but she wastes her money. She doesn't have, because they do an entire storyline of her not having any money, where she needs to borrow money from the other girls because she doesn't have a savings account and all that. And I'm just like, well, in what world is this attractive to a guy? I'm sure that there are a lot of guys who will just find her physically appealing, believe it or not. But
Sarah Jessica Parker or Amy Schumer? I mean, there's a push between the two of them, isn't it?
Talk about this motif, and it's coming up with a lot of the shows that you see on TV nowadays. Two Broke Girls. Who the hell finds that show funny?
Hey.
I honestly don't understand. It's not...
Hey. In defense of Two Broke Girls.
God.
The one character is very funny. People were talking about their favorite Christmas, like the whole episode. This was one episode, a Christmas episode. They were going on and on about, like, I don't remember the exact thing, but, like, all their favorite Christmas stuff or something. And then, like, they asked her, like, what her favorite Christmas movie was or something like that. And she was like, Schindler's List on Blu-ray.
Hilarious.
It was funny. You had to see it. But anyway, there's some witty stuff in that episode.
You had to see Schindler's List to laugh.
Not Schindler's List, yeah. The episode. Fuck you.
She's just not, but you know what? I'm sick of that. It's like the opposite of the manic pixie dream girl. You know what I mean? This role of the girl who doesn't have her life together. She's kind of a mess, but guys just flock to them. You know,
isn't this the conventional fantasy though, that we as men are supposed to want to save women?
I don't think so.
You don't think it's that part of that, or you don't think we're supposed to save women?
No, I think kind of both. I mean, and again, this is coming from a gay man. But
yes, and you don't yes and when it comes to me, huh? Yeah. I'm supposed to throw out a crackpot theory, and you yes and it to give it legitimacy.
Well, I think
that, yes, and you're wrong.
I think that just from talking to other straight guys, I mean, I think a lot of straight guys, they don't necessarily, you know, want a completely, like, I don't know how to phrase it. I don't think that they're really looking for, like, the platonic ideal of a put-together woman, you know, but I think that they like girls, and they tend to be attracted to girls who have their stuff together enough where they're not going to be flaky, or they're not going to be, I think to a certain extent, guys like a little bit of security. We hear a lot about women liking security from men, but I think that men look for a little bit of that too, just in a different way. And I don't see a lot of straight guys in reality being attracted to an Amy Schumer type of person, like in Trainwreck, or being attracted to Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City, or, and the Two Broke Girls, or, you know, I think it's just not really reality. I think it's another way for Hollywood and for feminists to kind of try to tell guys what they're supposed to be attracted to. And when guys are not attracted to that, they are made to feel guilty.
The best analysis of male-female relationships in a long time, and it has come from a gay man. Thank you, Elliot.
All right, let's put a bow on it. Let's wrap it up. What did we learn this week? Daniel?
I learned that the University of Chicago has their own fucking militia police force, which is pretty sweet / frightening / horrible. That's at least interesting.
I learned that Cards Against Humanity, as unorthodox as their business practices are, it's doing very well for them. I think we in the Midside should practice some of that.
Justin?
I learned right now that they're going to be premiering a new Batman versus Superman trailer on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Wednesday, and there's a sneak peek of that trailer on Twitter that I'm very excited to watch.
Thank you.
If you're excited to watch things like that, then you should follow at The Midside on Twitter, where we'll be retweeting all that wonderful stuff. Also, Facebook.com/TheMidside, where you can get all the latest Facebook news from the face of the book. And then, Midside.com, or is it TheMidside.com? It's TheMidside.com. Sorry, yes. Folks, don't know my own branding. Where you can look at some other articles that have been written and get all the latest podcasts. Or, of course, our favorite, subscribe on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Yes, not 4, not 7, just 5. That's all we want. And you can tell us what you like about the show, what you don't, as long as you give us a 5-star rating. Thanks. Patreon.com/TheMidside. We'll put that link up on Facebook. One of our fans, Rob, I think had a good idea. We should probably be putting that link up on Facebook. That's Patreon.com/TheMidside, where you can sign up to give us moolah in the form of pennies, nickels, dimes, $100 bills, whatever, per episode, and we will love you forever. We love our Patreon supporters. They help us pay for hosting and boozing and prostitutes.
Just about everything
podcasters could want.
Only the hosting.
So thank you, and it's mostly prostitutes. But so thanks, and we're glad you're here.
I'm Justin M. Lezeski, and I hope you learned something this week. This concludes your journey into the Midside. Good luck out there, and remember, if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day!
I was definitely going to say for hosting your balls in a prostitute's mouth, but I was like, I'm not going to say that.
Why? It's adorable.